In the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 8, and the 14th verse. The Epistle to the Romans, chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. This morning, we uttered a few thoughts relative unto the glorious person that is here set before us, namely the third person in the Trinity, the one who is co-equal with God, and the one who is thus fully qualified unto the work for which he so willingly comes from the Father and from the Son. There is a great love, you know, that possesses those three persons in the Trinity. There is the love of the Father, the love wherewith he hath so set them apart in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, to ensure their security and their safety unto eternal bliss. There is the love of the Son, who by reason of the great love that he hath toward these whom hath been given to him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. There is the love of the Holy Spirit. It is in the same epistle to the Romans that we read how that Paul names that fact when he put it in those words, the love of the Spirit. Yes, that he should so delight, so to take of those things wherein this glorious salvation has been accomplished for all of those who were so to inhabit eternal joy, that he should come and so prepare them and so effect for them that which was relative unto their perfection in a precious grace. Not that they were already perfect in that wherein he had finished the work, in that which was related unto that one sacrifice for sin. But there is to be the formation. There is to be, as it were, that so taking place within the souls of them for whom he died, that they may be prepared unto that glorious end. And blessed be God, that which the Holy Spirit in his divine love has so taken into his own account, that he should indeed so prepare many prepared unto eternal glory, that not one of them shall ever be left out. What a wonderful thing it is when you consider the billions of people throughout the generations of mankind that have peopled this earth, that you should be one in the midst of that great and that vast multitude who should be singled out and set apart by the Holy Spirit to know that you have an interest in that which Christ has done for you, and that therefore the Father himself loveth you. Ah, it is something that is beyond all our conception or understanding, and yet we have within our own hearts the evidence and the proof of the fact, in that wherein the Holy Spirit so indwells. Now we notice this morning that the Holy Spirit is the revealer. He shall take of the things of Christ and reveal them unto us. He is likewise the interpreter. He is the teacher. and he is the remembrancer unto his people. Every one of his children are to be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. And everyone is going to be taught and to be established upon that rock of eternal truth, that which hell can never shake, and that wherein ye shall know that in the truth, and that is the foundation of eternal truth, the truth itself shall indeed by the Spirit of truth be so set forth within your heart, revealing what you are and revealing what God is, and bringing you together in the blessed person of Jesus Christ. Yes, and not only so, but he is the comforter. In other words, he is, as that word means, he is the one who is called along to help, the one who is called alongside, the one who is so very near unto us. In all that which so baffles your soul by reason of the conflicts, by reason of those distresses that so overcome you at times, yea, so to answer unto your prayers wherein you are of necessity praying, oh, Lord, help me, Lord, deliver me, Lord, come down and free me from this. Yes, and the Comforter, he comes alongside, and he speaks into your heart some word which so lays hold upon you that the storm in your breast is lulled into peace. Yes, you feel now, though, that thou art still in the midst of trouble, that nothing can disturb you. Why? Because there is one who is dwelling with you. He has sent the Comforter. You may have the sorrow now, but you're going to have the joy. And then again, not only in the Comforter, but remember, he is thy helper. Yes, the Spirit is thy helper. Let us just take that one case that is presented before us in this chapter. Have there never been times when you, under the sense of guilt, wherein there has been the realization of a very wayward walk, that wherein you have, as it were, gone adrift from those things which you love, nevertheless, though you realize that this is the case with you, have you never known what it is for there to be a groaning in your heart and a sighing under it? You want to be brought back. You want to come into the joy of the Lord again. You want to realize the shinings of his countenance. You want everything to be removed that lies between you and your God. And the Holy Spirit comes and he helps your infirmities. And he maketh intercession for you with groanings which cannot be uttered. He, as it were, interprets the inexpressible, the things that we cannot give vent to, the things that lie too deep to give any meaning unto in ourselves, he knows. And he knoweth what is the will of God in these things. My dear hearer, what a helper he is when he doth so come unto you and makes you to realize that you have gone astray, that you have wandered afar off, and now by his divine love, the Spirit of love within your heart, there is a drawing toward him whom you have gone from. Yes, you want to get back to him. You're tired of lying on that bed like the bride did. Oh, it is the touch of the myrrh that so, as it were, exercises her into full force until she shall eventually find him once again. Nothing is going to stop her now. Now she goes on and on until she can indeed say, I held him, and I would not let him go. You know somewhat of that experience? My friend, it was through that which Jesus so ministered upon the door, that wherein he so put his hand through that door and caused the lock so to be anointed, as it were, with the myrrh that came from him. It was this that was her hope. It was this that made her to open the door and go out to him. And that is the same what, for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all agreed and in blessed union one with another in this matter. And so the Spirit draws your heart. And now what do I find? That he who is your helper so enables you to know within your own heart that you can give him no rest until you can once again realize the blessedness of your union and communion with him. Oh, restore, said David unto me, the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Oh, yes, it's all of grace. It's all in the superaboundings of the divine love toward us. What a leader his people have. How devout, how intent he is upon all that which is relative to their passing through this life. My dear hearer, remember this too, that he who dwells within your heart, he is none less than God. Think of the attributes of God. You can't take them away, you know, from the Son, and you can't take them away from the Spirit. They're all one. And this is all implied upon the case of a poor sinner. Yea, that he may indeed be brought into those places wherein he shall know no sin, where he shall be pure. Yes, in a word, and here we refer to the context again, the Spirit that dwelleth in you shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. That mortal body that's going to eventually moulder into dust, yes, with all that relates unto the lusts and the sins and so forth, nevertheless, that same Spirit that abideth in you, he's going to quicken your mortal bodies. In other words, they're going to be raised up again, and they're going to be made like unto his glorious body. What a prospect. What a friend. Oh, I feel sometimes when we say what a friend we have in Jesus, I feel like saying, what a friend I have too in the Holy Spirit. What should I do without him? How could I exist without him? How utterly dependent I am upon him in all the exercises of his grace within my soul. Why, every time I come into the pulpit, I have to come dependent upon the Holy Spirit. I have to beg of him to be my remembrancer and to bring unto me those things concerning a blessed Christ unto my soul, that I may not speak, as it were, simply with the lips, but that I may speak out of the very fullness of my heart in that wherein I know the truth of those things for which we do so contend. Or has he failed us? Well, I can only speak for myself. I've been in the ministry now 58 years, and he's never failed me once. And blessed be God, he is alike unto all his people. There is not one who shall find that in that wherein he doth so indwell their heart, that they shall lack anything in all the circumstances and conditions and all the dispensations of life. They shall find that they have this helper and this comforter continually with them. And here I must mention one other point, and that is this. Our Lord declared concerning the gift of the Holy Spirit, he said, he's going to dwell in you forever. You see, when he comes to you, he's going to abide. He's never going to vacate those premises, if we might put it like that, that he has now possessed for himself. No, he's going to be Lord. He is the possessor. And that which relates unto what he has taken for himself shall indeed never be left empty of his Spirit. Oh, what a blessed thing then to know that that which has been wrought in me has been wrought by the Holy Ghost, because the Spirit abides. Oh yes, you may grieve him. You may at times, as it were, give no heed unto that wherein that voice speaketh within. The mighty hearer, you'll suffer for it. And you'll suffer for it in the chief sense of the word, in that wherein his love shall be the more abundantly shed abroad in your heart. For that love is the reducing fact of what brings us down to the feet of Jesus. I want to look for a moment at that which relates unto the fact of the led ones. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, then it's obvious that they are all led away from a former place, that they're all being separated from a previous condition. So we find it recorded in the Epistle to the Ephesians in the 2nd chapter. You have he forgot, who were dead in trespasses and in sins, wherein ye walked according to the course of this world, and so forth. Ye were the children of disobedience and the children of wrath, even as others. But God, herein mercy steps in, herein love comes in. Yes, it's all love and mercy, isn't it, to a poor sinner? I was going to say it all comes in the strictness of the love and the mercy. When we are led by him, we are not spoilt by him. There is something definite and positive that he is going to effect within that poor sinner's heart, and he'll bring him clean out of the world, and he'll bring him clean away from all that which is relative unto a worldly spirit, and so on. There was a time when he was dead in those things, that is, he was actively employed in the world. Dead in trespasses and in sin, yes, but alive unto all that is evil. How careful we have to be that we do not point the finger at anybody. I know that there are times when you have to reprimand, when you have to reprove. But my dear hearer, should not this truth humiliate us? Should it not bring us down into our rightful possession to realize that everything that is spoken of concerning the evil of the heart and the course of mankind, that it was all in my heart, and what is more, it's still in my heart? Oh, yes, it is. God, as it were, hasn't come and taken that which was relative unto your own personality completely away. I tell you what he has done. He's made you a new creature in Christ Jesus. That doesn't mean that he's made another person of you. You're the same person. But God in his infinite grace has come and changed and altered you. Yes, led from a former condition and place. You say, am I led? One more. Let's testify this. They who are led are those who are brought to know things that they never knew before. You never knew the things. You were utterly darkened and blinded to the reality of their existence. No, because the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. It is to them that he shows his covenant. Now let me show you a point about this. When the Holy Spirit began to deal with you, you know what he did? He began to convince you of sin. What sin? Oh yes, you knew it in that wherein its outward movement was to be discerned. You knew it in that which was criminal and wicked and so forth. And you preserved yourself so far as your own virtue did so concern you to keep away from those characteristics. But when the Spirit of God came into your heart, you know what he did? He opened the door and he made you look within, and you saw all manner of creeping things. Do you remember how that he dealt with Ezekiel in this matter? He said, I'll take you, Ezekiel, and show you the chambers of imagery. He didn't take him into all of them at once. It was by degrees. First one door, then another door, and then another door. Yes. Even Jesus, in that which is relative to his conversation with the disciples, he said, ye cannot bear all that I might tell you now. What a mercy that he holds some things back from us. Because this is the same work of the Spirit. Oh, be assured of this, that in all that which relative unto that eternal Trinity, there is a perfect union and purpose in all that they do. Yes, that sin of yours, long forgotten, concreted over, buried, oh yes, it will never rise again. And when the Holy Spirit came into your soul, oh, it broke it all up, brought it to the light. All that hidden skeleton, here it is, visibly displayed. Yes. He gave thee an insight into what your sin in the sight of the Holy God was. And now comes this fact, that where he shows you the things that you never knew before, and sin was one of them, he shows you your need. And that need is of the Holy Spirit. He shows you your dependence upon the Holy Spirit. I can't go into all that which relates unto this subject, but you will find, if you are taught by the Lord, the Spirit, that you are in need of his constant, the constant putting forth of his divine power in your soul unto a full belief. And a complete and utter love, both in and toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it isn't a case of glibly talking about having faith. It isn't as though we can easily say, oh yes, I love him beyond all things, because you know, things soon come along and they put all that language, as it were, to naught. The testing times, they come. You've got to prove that there's only one that can overcome, the one who overcomes in you and for your sake. You view your dependence upon him in your thirstings, in your yearnings, in your longings. You were a stranger to all this at one time, but you're no longer a stranger now. You feel the intensity of these things. Oh yes, you want, you need. And so far you don't seem to be able to get any on any further. It's all a case of that wherein you want supplies to be given unto you. Well then, led by the Holy Spirit. The leading of the Holy Spirit is in absolute gentleness. He deals very gently with the souls of them in whom he grows. Now let's for a moment go for an illustration of this fact unto our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He has been through the waters of Jordan. He has heard his Father's voice. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He is full of the Holy Ghost. And he was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness. In another case, I think it's in Mark, you read that he was driven of the Spirit into the wilderness. Now don't mistake that word driven there. It isn't the word that implies force or being compelled to do it. It is the same meaning that is attached unto this language that we have in the very last verse of this chapter, wherein Paul declares, I am persuaded. He was persuaded by the Spirit. Could go up into the wilderness. He is there tempted of the devil. He triumphs. What do we find? He comes forth. The word is uttered. True, he went in when he was full of the Holy Ghost. But when he came out of that season of temptation, he was strong in the Holy Ghost. What an equipment was thus afforded unto him for his earthly mission, for all that he was to accomplish. He found his strength through the trials and temptation through which he had to pass. And where did he find that strength? In every case, it's in the Word of God. It is written. It is written. My dear hearer, that is just what the Holy Spirit doth for his people. He gently leads them into the truth, as it is in Jesus, records upon their heart the truths which are contained within God's word. And you know, when he leads purposefully. He has a purpose in view, and that purpose is for good and not for evil. And in that purpose there is to be the fact of progression. Progressively he will lead thee. Here a little, there a little. Gradually unfolding to thee more of the riches, more of the sufficiency, more of the loveliness of Jesus Christ. You too have to go into your wilderness to learn these truths. You too have to know what it is to be tried and to be tempted, that you may come to the very substance of these truths. And then you can say, I've handled that truth. I've proved it. Yea, it's been verified within my own soul. Some of us can give vent unto such facts. We have proved the word to be true. What does the Spirit then enable you to do? I'll tell him. I'll tell you. He enables you to take this word at times to the Lord. And he'll enable you to put your finger, as it were, upon a certain word, and you'll tell him, Lord, this is the truth. I believe it. Thou art a God that canst not lie. Lord, thou knowest my need. Thou knowest that wherein this heart has been brought to seek unto thee concerning this matter. Fulfill thy gracious word. Unfold it in all its blessedness, in that wherein I shall see the word not only in the scriptures, but I shall see it written out in that which is relative to my own soul's experience. Yes, progressively he leads his people, and he leads them on possessively. He possesses them for himself. Know ye not that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Ghost? Yes, he possesses thee for himself, and he'll have thee to know it. You wonder sometimes why he comes, maybe, and chastises you. You wonder sometimes why he brings certain trials into your life. You wonder as to why you have to endure this and that and the other. Oh, yes, others, as it were, seem to have such a very easy time of it compared with what you do, and you are inclined to get, as it were, rebellious. You feel that a spirit of envy is rising up within you when you do so look upon others. But you're not told to look upon others' affairs. He who possesses thee will bring thee to one source, to one center. And there he'll make thy soul to rest and alone to find its peace. And that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he shall glorify me. He shall glorify me. And that is the very essence of the teaching of the Holy Spirit within your soul. Well, now let us briefly have a word upon these leadings. And I'll be very simple about them. He leads his people into a state of felt ignorance. And when he brings them into that state of felt ignorance, he brings them into the realization of an utter concern. They want to know these things. So where are they led? I told you, know where he took Paul, don't you? When Paul was brought to know his need, there was only one place that he could go to, and that was the throne of grace. Behold, he prayed. That's a wonder. That's a marvel. That the Lord has taught your soul to pray. And to pray in the Spirit, and to pray with the understanding. Ah, that's where he brings you, to the throne of grace. And in bringing you to the throne of grace, he'll bring you to the Word of God. He'll bring you to this blessed book. Oh, you will not come as you hitherto did, having little heed unto what was contained in it. You'll come, you'll not read it glibly any longer. You may only be reading one or two verses, and they take hold of you, and you take hold of them. There is a message, there is a voice. It is the voice of authority that speaketh unto your heart, and you feel it. It is the Word of God. And then where does he lead you? Why, he'll lead you unto the ministry of the Word. He'll lead you with the hunger so to hear those things regarding him whom your soul longeth for and seeketh after. And into his court you will go, like David, and you'll have a delight in it. Yea, you'll have to say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the courts of the Lord. Oh, we want to hear about him. I always remember one dear friend at Blackheath, one of my deacons, but he came a fair distance, not, that is not the deacon, but the one to whom I'm referring, and he had an infirmity, and the deacon, catching him up on one occasion, said to him, "What makes you come all this way?" And he thought that, coming from a well-taught Christian, he was going to get something very different to what he did here. And the man said, "Because I want to go and hear more about Jesus. To hear more about Jesus. Is that why you come to the courts of the Lord? It did my heart good, you couldn't quite understand that when that was related to me. Oh, to come to hear about Jesus." So simple. And yet everything was contained in it, and that man made a good end. Ah, I was able to bury him in a full and a sure hope. My friend, what a blessed thing it is when he brings us up unto the courts of the Lord, not only to hear about Jesus, but to have faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To believe in the one of whom we hear, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And not only to have that faith, but the Spirit will lead them so to rest wholly and solely upon the finished work of Jesus Christ. And then he'll lead them to make their boast in the Lord. All that glory in him. How many times do we find Paul boasting of him, glorying in him? And that is where the Spirit brings all his people. And not only so, but he brings them to live in the Spirit. He brings them to mind the things of the Spirit. He brings them to walk in the Spirit. He brings them to mortify the deeds of the body. He leads them to love the children of God. Isn't it a peculiar thing that love, that which is of the Spirit within the heart, that wherein there is an answer, a response, you may not say a word to that other person, and yet there is a responsiveness betwixt you two, and you feel at one in the things of the Lord. That is the secret of the Lord. Yes, nothing else can bind you together but that which is relative to the love of the Spirit. And the same blessed person that is therein set forth, yes, you love as brethren. And then finally, where does he lead us? He'll lead us to God himself. Yes, he who is God, he brings us unto the throne of God. At the throne of God there is a lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. There is one who has entered into the holiest of all with his own blood. There is one who is our forerunner. He is the one that is set before us in the glory of the great white throne. Yes. And we hear him so declare, "And he that hath seen me hath seen the Father." Why sayest thou then, "Show us the Father"? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you've got that work within your heart, mighty, here this afternoon, nothing's going to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, the Lord. The Lord bless you with the assurance of it, for his name's sake. Amen.
Thank you.
And now may the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, possess our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And may the grace, the love, and the communion of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us each. Amen.
Shall we open by singing hymn number 1105, 1105. Jesus, engraved on my heart, that thou the one thing needful art, I could from all things part of thee, but never, never, Lord, from thee. Hymn 1105.